Good morning, everybody. You know, there's been a few things that, you know, I was reading the study of Peter this morning, and I have been throughout the week. You know, and one thing that's really highlighted to me on that is that you have Jesus who showed us that came down in the flesh, showed us the Father. That's what he did. And you had people that who would receive from the Lord, and you had to have people that rejected the Lord. And you have the two. Those that received were blessed, got healed, got deliverance, sins were forgiven. And then you had the Pharisees who rejected. And there's God in the flesh. And they would not hear him. Absolutely rejected him. Would just turn that away. And I was talking with Steve on this front a little bit last night. And you know, it's one thing that had came to me is, you know, I'm not one of these guys that had the testimony of, man, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I went on with fire for the Lord and just went going for it. No, I was one that would run away from the ministry. That has failed many times, has backslidden, and yet the grace of the Lord was still with me. And quite frankly, because the people that were carrying the anointing were praying for me. And you know, one of the things is I remember, you know, at all the issues I had, because I was not one to live up to life's terms. I mean, I was not one that could hold down a job. I was not one that was committed to anything. Just failed at like everything I did. I mean, would go into a direction for a while and then just failed at everything I did. I mean, that was me. I was not really committed, never finished high school. Didn't hang on a job for that long. That was me. But one thing I did knew, and I mean, you know, I was obviously a guy with plenty of issues. I mean, tons of issues. I mean, you look at me and go, well, I hope this kid survives. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, I know my dad was one that he came to me in tears and says, man, Philip, I don't, it is not right for me to have to, may you go before I do. Tears coming to his eyes, him trying to wake me up. And so it's one of just many issues. And I just remember being out there when I had run away from the Lord that, you know, I was called to this ministry. I mean, there was no other church. I just knew. I mean, I couldn't go to another church. I just knew it. I knew I couldn't go to psychiatrists and get fixed. These therapists, these rehabs, AA, NA, none of those things were the fixing of my issues. None of them. I knew the only answer was Jesus. And I knew where to find Jesus. That was one place where I was called to, where the truth was delivered unto me. And I want to turn, I really want to turn to John. Let me find out exactly where in John. Let's see here. Yeah, John 18, you know what? Let's back up. Let's go to John. Just go to John chapter 13. Verse 20. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And you seen that when Jesus came. Them that received Jesus received the Father, the fullness of God. They received it all. You had the 12 apostles, and you've seen that. But as Jesus was sent out in this world, so is the body sent out in this world. So does the apostles are sent out in this world. And you hear it through the epistles all the time, where the apostles were carrying the anointing. And he had the fullness of that anointing. Paul was one of them. And why did he have that? No, to give it to others. And those that would receive it would receive Jesus. Those that rejected it rejected Jesus in the same sense as Jesus was here on this earth. Did not Jesus tell the Pharisees, he goes, look, if you be the Abraham's seed, you would have did what Abraham did. Abraham believed on me. I mean, it's in the same sense. In the same sense. There's really no other way. You got one way. Jesus is the way, and His way is the only way. And we can look, and I was looking in Ephesians. Real quick, I'm just going to turn to Ephesians. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I wanted to hit that point because that shows clearly the line of authority there. And it's not for our destruction. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. It's for us to come as one for in one accord. But that's how you line up. That's how you grow forward in the Lord. Is you're lined up yourself underneath that authority. That line of authority. And it's not about the man. It's about Jesus' way. Didn't Paul the Apostle say, I'm the chief of sinners? Did he not say that? Here the Lord had met with him and Jesus taught him face to face and revealed the mysteries to teach it to the body. Did he not? And for the ministry to the Gentiles. Did he not? That's exactly what he did. But here he is, chief of sinners. It wasn't about him. It was about God's grace and His way. It's about what He has done. And we can partake of that. But what that takes for us to line up underneath that line of authority there is humility. And I was talking with Paul, one of the greatest examples of humility that I have seen as far as in the Gospels goes was with that Gentile woman. And I'm going to go there and I'm just going to read it. And that was in Mark 7:26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. I mean, she's coming to Jesus. You know, let me just back up. And go to 25 and read on down. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, that's Jesus, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That is one just state of humility that we should all be at. Because the truth of the matter is, we're all Gentiles. We're all dogs. But because of God's goodness, we can all partake at His table and His divine nature if we submit unto His way. That takes that type of humility. I mean, we can go to Romans, where Romans talks about how the natural branch were cut off. And it was cut off because of why? Unbelief. How much more should we fear not to be cut off? But that's the type of humility that we all need to have, that I believe we all lack. And you can look at it from a natural point, from a natural standard, and go, man, Lord, you sent this guy. This guy's, he's an idiot. Man, this guy's not wrapped too tight. And you can sit back and sit there and judge according to the flesh and be in the same seat of the Pharisees. And it's so easily that you can fall into that. And if you fall into that, you're not, there's no humility there. It's actually just pride. Fact of thinking, you need somebody better. You need somebody more perfect that can deliver you the word. It doesn't meet your standards. Well, your standards don't mean crap. They don't. I mean, when the anointing comes, and the anointing comes on somebody, and the Lord uses them, you better listen. I don't care who it is. Jesus at 11 years old was sitting there teaching with authority in the synagogue. And men did marvel at the wisdom which you don't imagine. 11 years old. What a offense to the flesh. But you know what? We're not supposed to be taking offense in the flesh. We should be quick to hear. Could be a jackass trying to save your life, Paul says. Absolutely. Absolutely. But one thing, that's one thing. I mean, and we can sit back, and getting back to us, and we can sit back, and we can either receive that line of authority, and we can grow in grace, and we can grow in what the Lord has for us. Or we can reject it and not grow. And the beautiful thing about this is that this is offered to anybody who would receive it. That means you too. That means you partaking of the anointing. That means you growing in the Lord. That means you carrying out the anointing. That's what that means. You partaking of the divine nature that He has. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. But it's all about His way. And He's good, and He's no respecter of persons. In this world, we have respecter of persons all the time, don't we? I mean, look, I see it in myself. When my boss comes, walks up, oh crap, that's the boss. I mean, that's the big dog, man. you know? Or, man, that guy is just, you know, he's sloppy, he's messy, he's, you know. Look, the Lord, no respecter of persons. And that's a beautiful thing, too. That means anybody can partake of the anointing of the Lord in the line of His authority. Be not high-minded, but fear. Listen. Take your own standards. Take your own judgments. Take all these things. Cast them down. There's only one way. That's Jesus' way. You have discipleship programs. And discipleship programs, that's where somebody guides you to know the Lord. Somebody looking out. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's scriptural. But it takes humility. Are we going to humble ourselves unto the Lord? Are we going to humble ourselves to His way? It's a choice. You can grow in God's grace, and you cannot. If you're too proud, too high-minded to receive, think you don't need it, that's fine. He's a gentleman. He ain't going to make you do it. But don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. And that's why I told that story when I was up. When I was out there, I knew that there was no other way for me. I knew where the Lord was, and I knew where to go get Him. And His grace was extended out to me. But I don't want us to be deceived. There's so many people out there that are deceived that, you know, I can just go and worship the Lord by myself. You can go worship the Lord by yourself. But the thing is, there's going to be His way. And when He sends that person of authority and that anointing and that option to receive Him, you better listen and not reject. Because God uses people now. He's not here physically. He actually sends people in the physical. Just as Jesus came down. There is no difference. Yet. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What ends up happening with a lot of people, you just think you're all right. Because you never heard that. Especially if you've been taught before a different way. And you just go about your, oh, I'm all right. But let's grow. Let's become a body. Let's get in His way. Let's all line up to His way. Amen. Let's become an effective body, amen? And that's what it's about. It's going out and preaching the gospel. But if we're disjointed and we're warring with one another, that's not going to happen. If we're not going about His way, that's not going to happen. Lord, why don't You send us some people? Because we ain't right yet. We're not clicking in His way yet. People are still going around another way, and it doesn't work. That straight and narrow path, Bubba. Anybody tries to come any other way is a thief and a robber. Take heed to this word. Take heed to this message. Grow thereby. Don't miss it. And you don't have to have a certain skill set. You don't have to have a certain standard. You don't have to be pretty. None of those things. What's that? But you do have to have the anointing. And you receive the anointing by humility. Under His way, under His line of authority. Partaking and submitting unto it. That's how you get more of it. That's how you get more of it. And all it is a choice and humility. Those two things. We can all make a choice, can't we? We make choices every day. I'm going to put this shirt on. I'm going to put that shirt on. I'm going to use the restroom now. I'm going to drink some coffee. I'm going to have cereal. You know, I'm not going to have breakfast. We make choices all the time. Anybody can make choices. And we can choose to humble ourselves and submit unto God's way. There's no excuse in that. And what does the Lord do? He meets us with power. He sees us and sees His Son Jesus and says, "Oh, He's reaching out to me. He wants to know me. Bubba, here I am." Old man, die. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, overcome the world is what Jesus says. Use it. I listened to Davey's messages last week. If Jesus was given all power, and I'm in the body of Christ and in Jesus, then I have all power. Amen? Let's use it. Lord's good. Amen. And His hand's out right now to all of us to grow thereby. Receive it. Grab a hold on to it. Don't miss it. I had many, many times where Paul went and preached, they rejected, he was gone. Especially with the Greeks. I think it was Greeks. Where he met up with those guys and they said, "Well, we'll hear of this matter of another time." No, you're not. That was your opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't let it pass you by. It's right here, and it's right here for you every day. That's it.
It is an important truth because we have been raised and educated with pre-programmed expectations. And the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and those like them were expecting Messiah that was going to make them look good. That was going to justify them, vindicate them, and further establish their power and prestige in rulership and authority. What they got not so much. They got Jesus the Christ. And Jesus said, you know, you're going to be rejected of men and beaten, and your own family's going to give you up. But it's not you they're rejecting. They're rejecting me and the one who sent me. There's two things about that. One is, why would you expect any kind of different treatment? And two is, in many, and I just two come to mind that right off the top of my head, and I'm going to cite them in here in a minute. But if a minister in most of the churches out there today said or did the things that Jesus said and did, they'd run him off. And I don't mean quietly. It wouldn't be one of those in the dark of night coups. It would be an open and loud display of inquiry to his ability to get out with all speed. Now, get out. The first one is, you know, the one Philip was reading. This Syrophoenician woman comes to him. Got a daughter with a demon. Jesus' response to her is, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it under the dogs. He just called her a dog. Which that was kind of mean. Right? But that was a ministry to the people around him to see that if you're not about justifying yourself, if you don't take offense at being called a dog, and you just say, yay, Lord, I don't want the bread. If I could just partake of some of the crumbs, some of the stuff that falls on the floor. You got grace abundant and full of mercy. It's falling all over the place. You got more of it than these people can stand. If I could just have a little bit of it off the floor. And then he didn't deny her. But she wasn't all puffed up and taking offense and stalking away like so many of us would. The other one is, let's go to John chapter 2, beginning of chapter and verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when he wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus turned around and said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. That was kind of mean and rude. Right? There's a lot of churches out there. If Jesus had been seen talking to his mother like that, they'd have run him out. And there's a lot of history and a lot that's gone by the wayside over the course of time. It testifies against me and Philip. And I personally don't give a crap what you think of me or Philip. You don't have to receive us. We carry the Lord's grace and mercy and partake of his anointing. You better hear the word. When you're judging things, you need to be judging with righteous judgment. Because with the improper discernment, you're just two situations where you'd further discount anything that Jesus had to say on the basis of those two testimonies. And in so doing, you wouldn't be rejecting him, you'd be rejecting the one who sent him. Philip and I are screw-ups. We're probably going to be screw-ups until the day we stop breathing. But we're Lord's screw-ups. And we keep providing an open channel for that grace and mercy to cover our screw-ups. And he does. Because he's good. Just so much good stuff in here. But the ponderance of the testimony of the word agrees together as one. And I recommend James chapter 4. I'm not too sure I'm going to go through it, but if I can ever get to it, here we go. Because there is so much in chapter 4 of James. And James is written to believers. James is not written to the world. James is kind of mean here in chapter 4. From whence comes wars and fightings amongst you? Come they not hence even out of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet ye have not, because you ask not. That's kind of a mean thing to be saying to believers. That's an accusation. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have. You're calling them murderers. All kinds of name calling and stuff in here. You have not because you ask not. Too prideful. You ask and receive not. Even when you do ask, you don't get it. Why is that? God's mean. Right? You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lusts. Just, you want more and more and more and more and more. You want to consume it. He never promised to provide for your lusts. He promised to make provision for everything that you need to do His thing. It even prosper you in that. Give you more than you need so that you can minister with it. Because He's good. Phil says that's in 1 John. Right? That's right. And then here we go again, name calling. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to continue in being at enmity with God? Then keep trying to prosper in the world. Keep expecting the world's going to love you. And it is, it's even uglier than that. It wasn't the Romans who had to kill Jesus. It was the church. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers of the faith of the children of God, Israel, the chosen ones of Israel. Who wouldn't allow Pilate to release him. They wanted the thief. A robber or whatever he was. The thief or murderer or whatever the crap he had done, I forget. They wanted the criminal. They wanted to crucify the innocent. Because it served a purpose. The world provided the system of the execution. But the church, the type of the church in that day, are the ones who put in there. You think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Having read this far, would have to figure out a way to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. Because I know I need grace. And I know I need to extend grace. None of us got here because of our worthiness. We all have one thing in common. We're sinners. Paul can say he was a chief of sinners. And he said it with, I am chief of sinners. I might have to disagree. I beg to differ. I'm probably the chief of sinners. Phil would probably say he's the chief of sinners. And I know her. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've talked about the difference between subjection and submission. Submission is a choice to agree that you're right, Lord. Subjection, everybody in the kingdom is the king's subject. It doesn't have to take an act of agreement or contrition or even faith. If you live in the king's kingdom, you're a subject. You're in submission to him when you believe in what he's doing, you agree with what he's doing, and you want him to do more of it to you. When you agree with him and you're about his purpose and you resist the devil, what does it say? You might think about fleeing. You might be able to get through the night. No, he will flee from you. He will. It's not his choice. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. This is one of the greatest things that's said in Scripture. When you draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. Nigh means near. For anybody that doesn't know that King James. My grandmother would speak in King James every now and then. And nigh was a word she used repeatedly. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's dealing with what you do and what your motives are for what you do. Purify your hearts. It's about not believing unbelief. Not listening to unbelief. Not giving in to unbelief. Not being terrorized by unbelief. Not letting it have rule over you. Or any kind of impact whatsoever. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. This is not going to feel good to your flesh. Your flesh is not going to be happy about it. Flesh wants its own way. It wants to rule you. Your carnal man wants to be in charge. And this is all about who you're going to submit to. Are you going to submit to the Lord? Are you going to submit to this dead man here? That's no great mystery here. That was always a verse that puzzled me, and then I realized what it was talking about. This is not going to go quietly into the night. It's going to go kicking and screaming. And maybe making real ugly. But it's dead. And you just quit listening, let it go. Let it go die. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up. You can choose to do it, or you can have it done to you. You can humble yourself, or you can be humiliated. In a place of humility, anything that's good that happens to me is the Lord just being good to me. He's just showing himself as being good to me and lifting me up, and I didn't deserve any of it. I think I'm going to give it a rest there. We're almost to the end anyhow. The Lord is good, man. Don't disregard these words. Don't judge with unrighteous judgment. So one of the things about what the Beatitudes, Matthew says, is that judgment's coming back on you. It's the same kind of thing as in the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. We don't really call it that, but that's what they call it. He says, forgive us our trespasses, we free of those who trespass against us. All heaven know. Please forgive me better than that, as I have been woefully inadequate at forgiving others over the course of my life. You don't want that judgment to come back on you either, unless it's right. I'm done.
And I was talking about the other way, about fellowshipping. What made clear to me was about being in the body. I mean, there's no other way. I'm thinking we can go off ourselves and have a relationship, and when the Lord brings you the body of Christ, you can't go around that. The way to fellowship is in that body, and that's the only way. We don't need to miss it.